morning we're going to continue talking a little bit about what's going to be happening starting October 6th. And by the way, I need to apologize for Dean and to Craig. I was outside visiting and had such a great time greeting people coming in the door. I forgot to come in. But actually, not that I cast blame on anyone, I couldn't hear Craig Dean singing outside. So, usually that's my cue that I got to come in because they're singing. I didn't hear that. All I could hear is Craig's duress voice. Where's the plasma? Sorry, guys. I didn't really mean to do that with the video. So. Anyway, I just needed to say that because I didn't feel bad about that. Actually, there's a gentleman on Wednesday night who threatened to take my job from me at opening the door. And he says, if you don't get any better, he's going to tell the pastor and have me removed from my position. So I thought I'd better practice. Anyway, to be honest with you, I'd love to have him take my position. That'd be great. He doesn't attend church. So I just think that'd be wonderful to have him out here with me opening the door. So anyway, if we're getting close. So October 6th, we're going to be starting the Believe study. And out on the table, there's a stack of these. And we don't want to just hang on to them so that we can throw them away. We want you to take these and to hand them out to somebody. You can take 20 if you want to, but please hand them out to someone. Give them to your neighbor. Give them to someone at work. Give them to someone at the store, at school. It has on the back of it, it has kind of an outline of the book. And on the front, it has when it's starting. So we want you to use this because we really want to get the news of this study out, not so that, again, we can just have a lot of people come, but we want to tell them about Jesus Christ. And this is a good study that gives core beliefs, core activities or actions that we do, and also our core who we are, who we are looking to become. So anyway, please do this. The one thing that I do want to, and I talked to Pastor Dean about this, and I don't know why. It says on the back here that the books are available and they're $5. No, they're free. They're free. I do not want anyone in this church or in this community to think they have to pay to hear about Jesus Christ. They do not. The books are free. If you want to donate $5 for the books, that's what they cost. Okay? But don't ever feel like you have to put money in so that you can have a study and follow us. That's just not right. So anyway, they're free. There is a jar out there. If you have some bucks you can drop in, great. We always appreciate helping the help for the ministry. And this is what the books look like. They're out there too. You can pick them up. Take them if you, I'm going to say, if you've got a friend that you want to encourage, take them a book and challenge them to read it. And then say, hey, if you want an explanation, come, because we're going to talk about what you just read in our church. It's a ministry tool. It's a ministry tool. This in itself is not the whole thing. It still depends on God's Word and on the movement of the Holy Spirit. But this is a ministry tool, and we're going to be doing this. And it's just a great way of saying, hey, you know what we believe? We're going to be talking about that in church. And we'd like you to come and listen. You know what we believe. Most people, if they say, well, I go to the Baptist church, and they go, oh, yeah, you people take an offering all the time. It's like...
That's true.
There's more to us than money. There's more to us than, we have what we believe. Oh, yeah, you're the people who are critical and you look down your noses at everybody and all this and stuff like that. No, that's not who we are. So, this is a great opportunity to say, if you don't know who we are, we would like to tell who we are and what we're all about. And... So anyway, I just think it's an excellent opportunity. And again, there's three parts to this study. The first 10 chapters are talking about knowing what you believe. What are your core beliefs? What are our beliefs? Now, again, I've said there's more than 10 core beliefs. So in order to get through a study in a timely fashion, we cannot incorporate every last one of them. But there's 10 kind of top core beliefs in there. And then after that, the next section talks about acting on what you know. And I'm going to be talking a little bit about that today in my message. But it's like, is it just a head knowledge? Is it just something, if you know this, you're good? There's more to it than that. And we're going to be looking at the book of James. James is a interesting book. It's a book that some people would say, well, he and Paul must have never gotten along. They must have never have talked, because they sure don't seem to be on the same page. They are on the same page. Paul would not disagree with James, and James is not disagreeing with Paul. But we're going to look at what James says, because James really talks about a very practical a way of life for Christians. It's not necessarily theoretical, it's practical. It's where the rubber meets the road in Christianity, and that's the book of James. We're going to look at that a little bit later. And so it's like, what are some of the things we as Christians are supposed to be doing? And then the last section is our core values. What are we striving to be? Who are we? Who are we striving to be like? And of course, ultimately, we want to be like Christ. But what does that look like? What does that look like? How do we? How do we take on the persona of Christ? How do people see Christ in us? And so, anyway, those are the three sections. And next week, Pastor Steve is going to be talking about what we are aspiring to be as we proceed in our Christian walk. So, today, we'll
Can I just add a point to that? This is kind of fun to know, but for this belief series, actually, Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote music for this series, and so we're going to be introducing several new songs written by him just for this purpose. And so I just thought that's kind of even a tool, too, for people.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. I read that, but I didn't think of mentioning that. So, anyway, yes, Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote songs for this type of thing, and so we're going to be introducing some of those. It's just going to be a great study, you know, and it's always great when you come to the house of the Lord and when you fellowship with one another, but and coming together and just, you know, folks, take advantage of this and make sure you invite your friends, because I think they're going to enjoy it. Okay, just took 20 minutes of my sermon. Okay, but anyway, today we're going to look at, again, the book of James and a passage of scripture that is rather interesting and maybe a little bit hard to hear. It's James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, and I'm going to go through this passage of scripture and see what it has to say for us. First of all, let me read that for us. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourself." See what it says. "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." Let's pray. Father, as we turn to your word, Lord, release the power of your word into our hearts. Lord, we're looking at a passage of Scripture that may be a little harder for us. But Father, I do pray that you would speak to us through it. Lord, we need to know these things. We need to be challenged. Father, we need to grow in you. So Lord, speak to us. In this time we have remained. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I've told you many times, I like James. So I like the book of James. James, again, is a very practical person. He's a very... I just enjoy the way God inspired him to write and the challenges that he gives us. So, just kind of as an overview, picking up from last week. Last week we talked about knowing what we believe. You know, we need to know what we believe. We need to know about God in order to truly believe in Him. We need to know about Jesus Christ in order to truly believe in Him. We need to know about God's Word to say, yes, I believe in God's Word. And you know, I mean, if I just picked up a random book and held it up, one that you've never seen, you don't know the author, you don't know what it says or anything like that, and I picked it up and I would say, okay, how many of you believe in this book? You know, you would be foolish to say, oh yeah, that's a great book. I really think that that's a wonderful book. You have no idea what it says. You have no idea what you're talking about. And in some respects, that's the way we are with God. Oh yeah, I believe the Bible is God's Word. Do you know it? Do you know it? Do you know what it says? Do you know what it tells you that you're supposed to be doing in your life? Do you know the encouragement that comes out of God's Word? So we do need to study God's Word, and that's how we get to know God's Word. And it's through study, it's through prayer that we get to know God's Word. And so I would encourage you, take the opportunity to go to Bible studies. I was thrilled this week. The ladies' Bible study, the two ladies' Bible studies that met this week, combined 35 ladies into these Bible studies. Okay, now the challenge is, men, we don't have a Bible study. And so you know how many people came? Well, no one. We don't have one. We got to get on the ball, man. We got to do it. It's not a challenge. It's not like we're going to say, we can't let those ladies show us up. We can't. But, you know, it's, in fact, there's kind of a little bit of a rivalry between the Wednesday and the Friday Bible study. The Wednesday Bible study had 20. It was only 15 on Friday. And I know that, you know, it's a competitive group. And so, ladies, if you're not involved in one, I know that the Friday morning one, people are going to say, come to us, because we've got to beat them. And, but I don't care why you come, just come, okay? So that you can learn about it. I mean, it's exciting. And I don't know the count on kids that were here, but there seemed to be a lot of them. And there's about 15 junior hires or something like that. Brenton, I'm not sure how many, but they were sure making a lot of noise as they went up the street to the South Campus, the Annex, 100 North Mill. I don't know what you call that. The brown building next to the, it's tan. You know, the falling weather building. I don't know what you're going to call that. But anyway, we used that for the first time for our ministry. And we had ladies' Bible study. How did that go, ladies? Did it? They weren't too noisy, the teenagers? Well, I'll tell you what, if the teenagers were in this building on Friday, they would have complained about the ladies here being too noisy. Because I was in my office and I could hear them loud and clear. And I wanted to go tell them that this is a Bible study, it's serious, stop laughing. So, anyway, but I decided, knowing who's doing all the laughing, I am not going to go in there. My mom did raise a dumb kid. So, anyway. Oh, maybe my brother. But anyway, you know. He's more than I am. We need to know God's Word. Or am I getting off track? We need to know God's Word. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, familiar verse. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed, and He's usable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's why it's important to know God's Word. Because one thing, it is God's Word, and it is useful for training in righteousness, for rebuking, correcting, teaching, and equipping us to do everything we're supposed to be doing. Peter chimes in and says in 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, he says, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by his Holy Spirit." Again, I just want to say the importance of this word. This is God's word. This is God's letter to us. That makes it kind of important. You know? So, we need to know it. But knowing is just the beginning. Knowing is just the beginning. Once we know God's word, we need to put it into action in our lives. And that's what James is talking about here. When he says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. And I like to use the old Nike saying. I don't know if they use it anymore, but it was just do it. Remember that? When Nike used to have this thing, just do it. I have no idea what they were talking about, but anyway, when we're talking about the word of God, just do what you know. Do what you know. Because it is important, and God's word tells us that we are not to just be a sponge that soaks in the word of God. Well, yes, we should be a sponge that soaks it in, but we also need to do something with it. Luke 6:46 says, "Why do you call me," this is Jesus speaking, "why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? John 13:7. "Now that you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Okay? He didn't say, "Now that you know these things, you are blessed." That's not what he says. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Now that you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." So God's word tells us that we are to be active in our faith. We are not supposed to just learn and learn and learn and learn and soak it in and never let it out. There are consequences for those who do not act on God's word. And the consequences, I have to say, are quite scary, if you ask me. First of all, if we go to James 1, 22-24, we see that people who look at God's word or learn God's word and do not do what it says, they deceive themselves. James writes, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." Now, one of the commentaries that I read talked about the mirror being God's word. And the man who looks into God's word and sees who he is according to God's word, but then walks away and forgets what God's word says to him. Because he doesn't put it into action. He's deceiving himself because he may think he's someone he is not. You know, and that's scary when it comes to our spiritual walk. If we think we're somewhere that we're not. If we think we're way up there and we're not. If we think that we're doing well, but we're not. And the way that we know that is by being into God's word and putting God's word to work in our life. The next thing that, or another thing that it says, that those who do not act on God's word, we find in Matthew 7, 26 and 27, and this is Jesus talking, and this is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and he just comes through, and he's all these people hear this tremendous sermon about all these things, and they're just wowed by Jesus' knowledge and just the power that he's speaking with and stuff. But at the end of the sermon, Jesus puts a little, is it an analogy? But anyway, he says, okay, first of all, he talks about the person who does not do what the Bible says. And he says in verse 26, but anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew, beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. If we just know God's word but don't put it into action in our life and do what God's word tells us, we are in danger of falling when we face trials. We are in danger of collapsing when we face the trials, and trials do come. Now, James gets even more serious when he talks about faith without works. And remember, we equated faith to belief. Believing the Lord Jesus Christ is having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so James talks about having faith, but having no works. And this is what he says in James 2, 14 through 17. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith, but he has no deeds, can such a faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about the physical needs, what good is it? What good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. That's a pretty strong word. It's dead. It doesn't say is weak, is faulty. It says it's dead. Faith without actions is dead. Knowledge without putting it into our lives and living by it is useless. We've got to learn. Yes, we do. But we've got to take what we learn and put it into action in our lives. God does not intend for us to become Christians, to believe in Him, and to learn His Word so we can come in here on a Sunday morning, sit for an hour, and then go home. And that's all we do. And that's all we do. That is not God's plan. And if that is the way that life is being lived, we really need to take heed of what it says here in James chapter 2. Then going on, James chapter 2 verse 20 says, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? He uses the word useless here. And then he goes on in verse 26, and he goes back, as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. That's strong language. That's scary stuff. But what it is telling us is if there is no action, if there is no growth, if there is no fruit to our lives, then we need to check what we truly believe. And we need to check our faith because we may not have a faith. We may not have a faith. Now, don't get me wrong here. James is not saying works is the most important thing. He's not saying that. He's not saying works trumps faith. He's not saying that. He's saying that the two go together in God's scheme of things. They work together. You have faith, you have works. Works are a result of a faith that is true, a belief in God that is real. That's the evidence of a real faith. And so if they are not there, then we may not have our faith, or that faith is dead. It is not a saving faith. It is not a saving belief. It's just a head knowledge. It's just a head knowledge. Okay, just so there are consequences for not acting on God's word, there are also benefits for those who do act on God's word. The first one is, of course, blessings. James 1:25, but the man who looks intently at the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. People who are active in their faith, who are doing the works that God has created them to do, they are being blessed in what they do. Luke 11:28. Jesus replies, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Now you can say, well, that's obey it, it's not doing deeds and working. Well, if you read God's word, it tells you what to do. If you don't do it, then you're not obeying God's word. So if you obey God's word, you are blessed. You are blessed. If you do what God tells you, you're blessed. Now, the world doesn't tell us that. The world tells us, you know, you people are so weird. Why are you following a rule, a group of rules that are so hard? You know, that's not fun. You know, we're having fun out here in the world doing our own thing. I mean, this is where it's really at, you know. We absolutely love going to football games, getting drunk, and watching the Cougars lose. The last word. I mean, I absolutely. Of course, maybe the only way you can watch a game is if you're drunk. I don't know. There you go. I'm an Oregon State fan. So, you know, what do I know about football? Guys, you know, I'm so proud of my Beavers. They did not lose yesterday. They didn't play yesterday. So, you know, I mean, it's pretty bad. I mean, you're a fan. I mean, you're happy because your team did not play. You know, so, but, the you know, anyway, we are blessed if we obey what God tells us to do. John 13:17. Now, well, I've read this before, but now that you know these things, you are blessed if you do that. All right, it's a strong emphasis, and this isn't just James saying. These two cases are Jesus saying the same thing James is saying. Okay, so we are blessed. It also gives us strength. We go back to the story of the two builders at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And we look at the one builder. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, the wind blew, beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Not just hearing God's word, but doing it, putting it to work in our lives, doing the work that God desires us to do, gives us strength. And when those trials come, we will stand firm. When we act on God's word and not just merely hear it, we glorify God. We bring glory to God. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light so shine before men so that they will see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus did not say, let your light so shine before man so they can see your knowledge and praise God. That's not what he says. They will see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. Now again, deeds do not save us. I'm going to make that out there. Paul makes that abundantly clear in Ephesians chapter 2. We are not saved by our works. We are not saved because we do a lot of good things. We are saved by faith through grace. It's a gift of God. It's from Jesus Christ doing the work he did and putting our faith and our belief in him that we are saved. But because of that belief and that faith we have in Jesus Christ, we do the works that God wants us to do. See, we have it in the right perspective here. We learn, we know, we work. Okay? There's some of the religions in our country have it backwards. They have, you work. And the more good things you do, the more God is happy with you, and the better chance you have of getting into heaven. No. No. If there's no faith, if there's no belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, and acceptance of him as our Lord and Savior, your works aren't going to get you anywhere. But if you have made that step, then you better have those works there. And they better be there. Because it brings glory to God. 1 Peter 2:12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. God's name is glorified when we do the works that he desires for us to do. Now, I have some closing thoughts and just a true confession. I have some verses that I couldn't fit in anymore, so I just put them under closing spots because it just made sense to me to do it that way. So, but here's a couple of verses, too, that I just want to leave you with that really speak to us. Titus 2:13. It says, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people who are his very own, and listen to this last line, eager to do what is good. Eager to do what is good. Not eager to know what is good. Yes, we need to know what is good. But they're eager to do it. And the word isn't dragging their feet. It's eager. You know, they want to do what pleases God. They want to do the works that God has for them to do. Then again, Paul writes, this is a trust. This is a... Okay, we'll get it. This is a trustworthy saying. And I want to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Devote! You think Paul's getting a point here? Eager, devoted, or devote. So, yes, you know, doing the things, not just knowing them or hearing them, but doing them, is vitally important to our Christian life and walk and to our spiritual well-being. And then, here's something that, in the book of James again, and this one just, I have to say, it blows my mind, and that's why I kind of want to leave it with you. James 2, 18 and 19, some of you know what's coming. Because, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Now that's kind of interesting. How do you prove your faith to someone? How do you prove it? Can you prove it if you don't do anything? Can I prove to you that I believe in... There's no chair up here. See that little stand that Shelby sits on? I believe that would hold me up. I really do. I'm not about to sit on it. You know, so I can't prove that to you. Now, I could if I wanted to. But I want Shelby to have something to sit on when she comes back up to play. You know, but see, you could say, well, then, Pastor, you don't believe that that won't hold you up. She's not going to sit on it. Well, you know, that's a really simple illustration, but we'd say, yeah, I believe in God. I believe that I should do the things that God wants me to do. But are you doing them? Do people see what you say you believe in your life? Do they see it? You know, they need you. But anyway, I haven't finished the verse yet because this isn't the mind-blowing part. The mind-blowing part is verse 19. You believe that there is one God, or that there is a God. God. One. Not multiple gods, one God. Good. You should. You should believe that. I mean, that's part of our belief system. We're going to be talking about that on the set, because there is one God. But listen to this. Even the demons believe that. Even the demons believe that. And shudder. Whoa. So what makes the difference between the demons who believe there is one God and we who say there is one God? So are we going to see the demons in heaven? No, they're not going to be there. They believe the same thing we do, but the problem is they're working against God. They're working against His elect, His church, His body. They know who God is. And I cannot figure why they work against God. But they do. But they believe. I say that. Demons believe? That can't be right. They don't believe. They believe. They know God is there. They know God is there. They know who He is. They know His power. They believe in that. But they don't work for Him. They don't act on what they believe. They don't repent of what they're doing because they believe in God. But we who say we believe in God and know the same things that the demons do. What makes us different than a demon? And that's the most we think our kids have no difference between demons and them. But, you know, but what makes us different than a demon? If they believe that I believe, why am I different? It's because I act on God's word. I do what God wants me to say. I am obedient to God. The demons are not. So if you look at that, it's like, so just believing, what does that give you? Folks, we need to put what we believe into action in our lives so that we can prove our faith, so that we can glorify God, so that we can have the strength we need to stand firm when we are challenged by the world and by Satan. And we will be challenged by the world and by Satan and by these demons who believe. What about your faith? What about your belief? Are you acting on your faith? Are you doing what God's word tells you to do? Has it made it from your head to your heart out into the things that you do? Or are you just thinking about God's word? We need to put it into action. The Bible's very clear that if we don't, we are risking it all. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and for the time in your word. And Lord, help us to not just think about these things, Lord, but to really, truly apply them to our lives and do the things that you desire for us. Lord, thank you again for this time in your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.